was really good at that. I'm okay. Okay, let's talk a little. What else you had? Some other things? No, it's alright, he'll bring it.
Being told that there are three supreme powers, it is Brahma, Vishnu, Mahadev, and from very beginning it's been propagated. It's only after coming into Krishna consciousness this differentiation we come to understand why it is like that.
Well, it's not just in Krishna consciousness that knowledge is there. It's also there in India, but unfortunately, most of the people in India have really abandoned the knowledge of the Vedas for superstition. And so they listen to their grandmother instead of listening to Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada came from India. And all of Gaudiya Vaishnavas are from India. There are so many other lines of Vaishnavas in India. They all have the same understanding. So it's not that it doesn't exist in India, but it's like here in the West. Why do 99% of Christians eat meat? It says in the Bible, don't eat meat. So why do they eat meat? Because they don't really follow. They don't follow the Bible. Now, you know, Muslims are killing everybody in the name of the Quran, but is that what it says? No. No civilized person would think that that's what God wants. So it's Kali Yuga, and people are misled. The misled people further mislead other people, and therefore everything gets lost. The real Vedic science gets lost. So in the West, for the most part, most people didn't really understand what even the Vedas were about until Srila Prabhupada came. But in India, they did. And there are many groups, congregation areas of people in India who were Vaishnava and Vaishnava followers. You go to Vrindavan, you go to Ayodhya, it's not a, they're not going to say that. And similarly, there are both holy places and followers who live in those holy places. But unfortunately, it's become sort of a common misunderstanding. And one reason is that materialism is so rampant in India that this then becomes, these misunderstandings serve the materialistic principle that actually, working hard, being successful in society, is the real main thrust of life, and then just be religious, be pious. Although even being pious is going out the window. So, majority of people in India now eat meat. When I started going to India 40 years ago, that was like unheard of. Now everywhere they're selling alcohol in public. Yeah. That did not exist 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That we can see, because we cannot even think 20, 30 years back ladies drinking, but now you go in all colonies and societies, the ladies have started to drink, and even they have a bar at home. It was totally unheard of in our times, mm-hmm. Even the men don't drink at home. If they have to drink, they have to go somewhere, hide and do that.
That's all you can see. Yes, definitely, the world is not going in the right direction. That actually
actually is one reason, you know, that propels you to go to the other, choose the other option and see what it has in there. Because we have tried that, now nothing happens, and we can see that they are degrading more and more, you know.
Yeah. And people don't become happy by pursuing materialistic values. It doesn't satisfy the soul.
But you know what they say? They say that you tell materialism is wrong, materialistic is tendency is bad, but you need our money, you want to do big temple, you ask for donation.
We don't say materialism, we don't say that matter is bad, because matter is Krishna's energy, and we don't say money is bad. We say that money should be used, and matter should be used in Krishna's service, like you say, to build a temple, and that people should live, that's all right, but that's not the goal of life. In other words, you have to have, what's your priority? Is your priority a materialistic lifestyle, or is your priority self-realization? So get your priorities right, and everything is created by Krishna, so how can matter not be right? It's a question of what you use it for. Is a knife good or bad? So if a killer uses a knife, or if a cook uses a knife, it's got nothing to do with a knife. It's got to do with who's using it. So if you're using matter for unbeneficial purposes and for selfish purposes, then you're bad. What the matter's not bad.
But why is it that when they're using it for bad purpose, they're becoming more and more affluent?
Huh?
Why is it that?
Temporarily.
Huh?
Temporarily.
But then temporary span is 50 years. Like, for example,
maybe
Donald Trump,
that's
he's
karma.
A man with so much of
that's karma.
Wealth, but he is becoming richer and popular.
That's karma. But look at all the people who are born poor in the world. Where do you think they come from? After his 50 years is up, he's going to end up being someone in sub-Sahara Africa, starving to death with no water to drink.
It's just
50 years is nothing. You've been in the material world for lifetimes, yeah. People, one lifetime, two lifetimes, but at a certain point, your karma runs out. So people in the world who are starving, they're not starving for no reason. And a lot of people are starving. And a lot of people are in want. And they don't have the basic necessities of life. So, of course, people don't like to hear, oh, this is their karma, this is because they did something before. Well, then you explain it. You got no explanation. You don't have any other explanation. Why is it that some people are poor and some people are wealthy? And you can't say everyone should be wealthy because you don't have enough resources in this world for everyone to live. For everyone to live like a mito. You don't have a resource in the world to everyone live like an average German. So it can't be that everyone's going to live the same. So, yeah, if you want, for the short period of time, sure. But over the long period of time, it won't work.
Maharaj, something on today's lecture. Today's lecture was actually quite interesting because I had this question before also. We were discussing about the same, that what is the difference between a materialistic getting into some kind of sin and a devotee getting into a sin, and how devotee is penalized and how materialistic is penalized? So maybe if you can just elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Different things happen. When a materialist commits sin, then in one sense, from the spiritual point of view, he will get some punishment, but he may get less spiritual reaction because he doesn't know any better. When a devotee commits sin, even though if a devotee is someone who rectifies himself, then he may not need to get any punishment for the sin. But having actually broken some vow and committed a sinful activity, that will sow the seed of sin deeper in his heart, and it will make his spiritual life more difficult. So punishment is one thing, and there are different phases of reaction will be another.
Which is more grave of that sin? The sins of having jealousy, hatred?
Meat-eating.
Or
meat-eating.
But then they are materialistic. They don't know, no? What is...
Still, that's meat-eating is considered mahapap. Meat-eating is mahapap. It's, in one sense, from one point of view, why? Because it's just all based on violence and killing. So that's a very grave sin. On the other side, illicit sex is the worst sinful activity, because it so conditions people to body identification because of the pleasure that's involved. You become addicted. So in different perspectives, you get different types of results or different types of things.
Does that include relationship within marriage also?
Ultimately, yes, because... You know, the idea is spiritual life begins with becoming freed from bodily identification. So therefore, you either stop or restrain activities that increase bodily identification. That then becomes for a materialistic person, we're happy if they just, have sex life within marriage. For initiated Vaishnavas, the vows of initiation is no illicit sex. It's one of the vows. It is also part of Indian culture. If you have sex with children, and it's not a form of entertainment. But people make those steps according to their level of commitment or ability. So we want to be free from. In order to really advance spiritually, you have to free yourself from material attachment. And therefore, a life of regulation, a certain type of regulation is required. The Vedic literature gives a spectrum according to different types of people. So if someone can't stop eating meat, then at least don't eat a cow. And if you have to eat meat, there's no such thing as slaughterhouses. Then you do it as a sacrifice for Kali in a certain way, and then you eat a goat or some lesser animal like that, but not cow. So different standards. But ultimately, with that person, come to the realization, well, what's the use of my eating animal? You know, if it's a sin to kill a cow, it may be a lesser sin to kill the goat, but I'm still going to get sinful reaction. It's unhealthy, doesn't taste good, and this poor animal has to suffer. So they come to that understanding. Well, then I should eat vegetarian. Then yes, be a vegetarian. But being better than vegetarian is offering your food to Krishna, so that you're eating prasadam. Yeah, because being vegetarian is also not pure life.
One more thing. While progressing in Krishna consciousness, there are certain imbibed qualities in a human being, like anger, greed, ego, which we are not able to give up so easily. So, what is the reaction of that? What happens? Because although we are trying to progress, there are certain qualities, nature, which we have come up with, which does not go.
Correct. Well, there's two things. One is self-control, and the other is purification. There's no such thing as being able to give anything up, because, like you say, they're innate qualities. It's like you're trying to throw off your fingerprints or something. You can wash it as much as you want. You're not going to get rid of your fingerprints. Similarly, you can't just throw off anger, you can't throw off greed, but you can purify it.
But
In the meantime, you have to live in a way that doesn't enhance it, and at the same time you try to control it.
Maybe some examples of how to control, means some way of purification, maybe.
See, that what is happening, you know, I'm telling one practical thing. You chant, read, everything, knowledge is there. But when stimulation comes, all that knowledge goes away. I don't know where it goes away, and suddenly it, as a reaction it comes up. Then we contemplate, oh my God, it could have been done better.
Yes.
Be it even you are telling your subordinate, he comes and you just throw your anger and frustration on him. And then when he goes, you realize, oh my God, I read Bhagavad Gita, it tells like this, and see what I am.
So it requires also practice. In other words, it doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, Krishna says that Trividham Narakashedam, Kama, Krodha, Tatha, Lobha. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. So he says a wise man tries to control these. So, you know, how do you control greed? So greed you control. There are different ways. One is different parts that relate to it. But one is that you live according to your needs. So greed means I want more and more and more. But what do I need more and more for? Because people always want more because they're not happy with the more that they got before. So therefore it becomes like a catch-22. So you don't need more, more, more. What you need to do is, what are the basic necessities of life? What do I need to live comfortably? That's fine. And I live for that, and what has Krishna said? Yat karoshi yadishnashi. He said, and then you give the results of your work to Krishna. So if you want to make more, just like, well, this other devotee who was here, he's a businessman, he's been the devotee here in Hungary for 25 years, and I always encourage him, make more money, make more money. But not for him. Just says, make more money to give to me, to give to Radisham for the service. So he's already got, he's got his house. He's not interested in a bigger car, in a bigger house, in acquiring any more things. He's got what he needs. But rather, and when you dovetail that spirit of actually doing more for Krishna's service, it becomes a purifying activity. And that's why traditionally, Where did the temples in India come from? Who built them? The Brahmins?
The kings,
the businessmen,
the
wealthy entrepreneurs, they're the ones who built them. Why? Because that's the tradition. The same thing. Who built the churches in Europe? It wasn't the priests who built the churches. So that type of building church, building temple, publishing books, distributing books, financing festivals, all these type of things, these then actually dovetail that tendency of doing more, and it becomes rewarding, and it becomes satisfying and pure.
How about tolerance?
First thing Krishna talks about, tamstitikshashubhadato, you have to learn how to tolerate.
That's the question, means how to learn to tolerate?
One is, you learn how to be very, well, of course, it requires, when you have knowledge, then you realize that things are not happening by chance. And ultimately, there's only so much you can maneuver. And you're not going to be able to go beyond that. You're going to have to just tolerate your karma. There's a lot of materialistic people out there who are tolerating. So when we talk about these poor people, they're tolerating a lot. But they don't have any choice. So people can't tolerate. They have to be able to do it willingly. So what are the parameters that help us tolerance? Is we have knowledge. So Krishna says, for instance, the happiness that comes from sense perception, don't run after it. Krishna says they're like summer and winter seasons. They come, they go. One has to tolerate. So you have to learn that type of tolerance. What are Lord Chaitanya gives us this formula. He says, Trinadapi Sunichina. He says, just, you know, meditate on the tree. It's cold, it's hot, people come,
then it doesn't
cut
have
down
any,
branches.
Legs or something to run away, no? Suppose if I'm cutting it, but I, a human being...
But it's still conscious. It's still conscious. The human beings are meant to be more than trees. They're meant to be smarter than trees. Just because they got legs doesn't mean that they're supposed to run away. So, and just like this grass, you're sitting on the grass. The idea is to learn lesson. So you have a certain frame of mind. And when you walk on it, you sit on it, you cut it. So it still remains very humble.
Beyond what point we should react and give up tolerance, okay, to one level?
That requires spiritual intelligence, but spiritual intelligence comes by both reading Bhagavad Gita and it comes by purification of heart from chanting Hare Krishna. Amanina, manadina. And you offer respect to others, but don't expect respect from other people. So these become steps that help us to learn to be taught. And then think, that's why I'm giving the example of the tree. So when you become pushed, then you think, well, just look at the tree. The tree is very tolerant. I should also practice that tolerance. I should lose my temper. What's the benefit of losing my temper? It's more constructive to communicate in a positive way than just losing my temper. Sometimes one may speak in an angry way, but not because you lost your temper, just because it works better. That doesn't mean that people don't get angry. It doesn't get angry necessarily because I'm out of control. You get angry because, just like, you know, sometimes you have to threaten a child. You don't threaten a child because you've lost control of yourself. It's because sometimes children don't listen when you're just always speaking sweet words to them. They take advantage. So sometimes they got to know that, you know, they're going to get it otherwise. But these things, it requires serious, if you want to know these things, then according to these subjects, study Prabhupada's books, study Bhagavad Gita, study Srimad Bhagavatam, and you'll get a wealth of knowledge. And simultaneously, and that will help you control, you need to purify the heart. And by the purifying of heart comes by chanting. Okay, comes to us by chanting. I'm going to go talk to these devotees. I'll leave you talk to Utoksuja and Priya. And you got some plan for the day?
Not really, Maharaj.
That's good.
We are just here.
You're here to relax.
Yeah, I got some books I want to read because I had been long planning. I don't get time. Yeah.
Great weather. Read, visit the Goshala, take prasadam, and maybe if you come back around 5:30, then we can chat a little more. Okay, and you can stay here in the meantime. You're welcome.
If they don't mind.
No, they're hanging around, and I'll just go talk to them and. Now you got some beautiful weather. Now we finally got some decent weather. Okay, I'll see you later then. Hare Krishna.